God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The basis for this morning's message is from God's Word from Luke chapter 4. But before we get into our gospel reading, let me sort of begin with a little bit of an introduction. In J.R.R. Tolkien's book, The Lord of the Rings, a particular city was looking forward to the coming king. And one of the criteria or qualifications of the coming king is that coming king had to be one who would heal, would be known as a healer. Now, it is known that Tolkien is a Christian. He probably had heard a little bit, if not a lot, about St. Luke's. And it's beautiful on how he sort of brings this point in, and it's a beautiful imagery of what we've just gone through these last couple weeks and where we are today in our Gospel of St. Luke. Last week we were hearing on how Jesus was in his hometown. The scroll of Isaiah was handed to him and he read from it and he said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." Basically announcing to his hometown, he is the Messiah. He is the Christ. And so what's the next thing that Luke puts after that Nazareth account is our text. He's the Christ. Now what is the Christ going to do? He's going to heal. Because our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ is the one who heals. Jesus is the healer. He is the one who heals. And in our text for today, we have many examples of healing. We first start with someone who is demon-possessed. We have someone struck with a fever. We have the statement that many sick and various diseases, they're all being brought to Jesus, and Jesus heals each and every one of them. But the fantastic and the best part of healing, and why God takes on flesh and blood, is still yet to come. But he already gives us a little bit of a glimpse. You see, we may remember Christmas, that little baby born in Bethlehem, how God does take that on that flesh and blood. And it wasn't just to put the doctors and nurses out of business. It wasn't to fix the Medicare system or get rid of the drug companies by doing all these miraculous healings. But the ultimate purpose on why Christ takes on flesh and blood was to bring about the healing that needs to take place within each and every one of us because of sin. You see, that sin that we inherited from Adam and Eve separates us from a loving relationship with God. It separates us from eternal life. And so the Christ comes, dies on the cross, gives us that forgiveness of sins, bestows upon us His righteousness to bring healing to each and every one of us. Christ defeats sin, death, and the devil. Let's pick up on the words of the demons themselves. Strangely enough, our testimony for today is going to come from them in God's Word. Notice what the demon-possessed man said. "Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." You see, even the demons knew who this Christ is. He's the one who's going to destroy sin, death, and the devil. But for some of us, when we start talking about demon possession, when we start talking about destroying sin, death, and the devil, when we start looking to Christ as our Savior from sin and to restore humanity back to a loving, caring relationship with its Creator, some of us may say, "Pastor, this is a little hard for us to understand." From Mark chapter 9, verse 24, picking up the words of a father, he said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And that, in one essence, should be each and every one of our prayers. We may put our faith and trust in God, but then there's still that matter of doubt within us. There's still part of us that says, you know, how can God heal me? Will He heal me? Should He heal me? And so let me just pick up the words of that last hymn we sang. Beautiful words. It was the first time we sang that hymn here in this church. From Lutheran Service Book, hymn 541, stanza 4, "Drive out the doubt that cripples faith, expel our pride and greed, that we from powers that threaten us may by your grace be freed." We have a Savior who heals us. We have a Savior that drives out our doubt, that cripples our faith. In one essence, you could call that our demon, so to speak. How many of us in our own lives have known that this is the thing we should do, whatever it may be, but then there's some sort of stumbling block, usually coming from within us, something within us that causes us to fail or we're unable to overcome? Many of us may have lots of these problems. Sometimes we only have a few of them. But whatever those stumbling blocks are, in one essence, you could call them demons. Part of your sinful self that's saying, "I can't get there. I can't do that. I can't believe and trust the way that God wants me to believe." Picking up the words of that father again from Mark chapter 9, verse 24, "I believe, help my unbelief." Showing that struggle, showing that we need healing. Yes, we realize that Jesus, as he had his earthly ministry, was walking on this earth some 2,000 years ago, he healed people. But Jesus didn't just heal people in the past, but Jesus continues to heal people today. We have to realize that all life is a gift of God. Whether it be from conception to birth, to middle age, to the elderly, people who are in dementia units, people who are forgotten. All life is a gift from God. And that gift of God is also given again in another form of new life. When we are baptized, God's name is placed upon us. We put on Christ. We belong now to Christ. There is a change that is within us when we are baptized in Jesus' name. When a little infant comes to the baptismal font, it's more than just being words being put over that infant, but God's holy word. That same word of God who took on flesh and blood and put his hand and healed many people, now takes his hand through his word and heals that infant. In our new Lutheran service book, we have taken our baptismal liturgy and have gone back a little bit to the 1500s, to the time of Martin Luther. Martin Luther wrote a baptismal liturgy, and we included some aspects of those baptismal liturgy into our current Lutheran service book's baptismal liturgy. But I will admit, the people who did that purposely forgot 2 points. And their reasoning for forgetting 2 points about it is they kind of thought that us as Americans just couldn't handle it. If you go to other parts of the world, they would probably agree with these 2 points. And they do, these 2 points. But in rational America, we can't understand this. So I'm going to name these 2 points. And if you struggle with these 2 points later on, please see me. We have something to talk about. But let me just name them to you. Luther writes in his baptismal liturgy, "The baptizer shall say," and that's usually the pastor, he begins, "Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit." Now, us as Americans, we may have a hard time with that because we may be saying, "Pastor, isn't that an exorcism?" And the answer is yes. But when we start thinking of exorcism, we start thinking of Hollywood movies of the exorcist, and we're going, "Wait a minute, that's not what God's word had in mind here." We have to come to the realization that as human beings, we are in this sinful world. We are separated from God. And Martin Luther is pointing out in sort of a very beautiful way that when baptism occurs, the Holy Spirit works that faith. There is God's means of grace. The Holy Spirit comes into a person, and that unclean spirit then leaves. It's not just said once. This is the twice. Later on, after the flood prayer, which is part of the Lutheran service book hymnal, liturgy for baptism, The pastor continues, says, I adjure you, you unclean spirit, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that you come out of and depart from this servant of Jesus Christ, names the person's name and says, Amen. Yes, nothing for Hollywood to make a feature film about, but reflecting God's word of healing, the type of healing that we all need, the spiritual healing that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ provides. And Christ not only provides that spiritual healing, but Christ also provides that physical healing. Now, before you start saying, Pastor, I think you've watched a little too much TV with those televangelists, those people who would have various people from the audience come up on stage, and the televangelist puts their hands on top of the person's head and says, be healed! And they walk away jumping up and down and saying, I'm cured, I'm cured, I'm cured! That isn't what I'm talking about. Let me pick up again from what Martin Luther says about the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He says, we must never regard the sacrament as a harmful thing from which we should flee, but as a pure, wholesome, soothing medicine that aids you and gives life in both soul and body. For where the soul is healed, the body is helped as well. You see, our Lord does provide healing. Every time we come and partake of that bread and wine, that body and blood of Christ, Christ giving of himself for healing. This isn't some ritual we just do. But with that bread and wine is offered the forgiveness of sins. And Martin Luther says, when the person is fed the forgiveness of sins, their soul is strengthened and describes it as soothing medicine. And when the soul is strengthened, the body can't but help also be strengthened. Now, I'm not going to promise you that if you receive the sacrament of Christ's body and blood this day, that you will be in perfect physical health. Quite the opposite. As I'm reminded, as I sort of move around every once in a while in this pulpit, I have a little ache in the back that I've just picked up in the last couple days, and it hasn't gone away. And I've already celebrated the divine services twice, so I'm not going to make that type of connection here. But I am going to pick up on that spiritual connection here. That yes, we have a Savior, one who heals. And when the soul is benefited, we also, as physical human beings, benefit. Now, some of you may be saying, when we start talking about physical healing, we might be saying, well, what about that pain in your back, Pastor? What about Aunt Sophie and the struggles of cancer that she's going through? What about the other people and other Christians who are suffering in forms of dementia? Didn't Christ heal them of all their physical illnesses? Can't he do that? And we have to backtrack a little bit and go back to our text. Did Luke ever say in our text that there were now no longer anyone who were suffering in any type of physical illness? Did he say that all the doctors were now unemployed? And the answer is no. Remember, that was a sub-point of why Christ took on flesh and blood. The main point of why Christ took on flesh and blood was for our spiritual healing. So getting back to our own physical illnesses, yes, Christ can work independently. And yes, there are documented miracles, so to speak, that medicine cannot explain. But also Christ works through the doctors and nurses. And I don't want to take that away from them. But is everyone entitled to be healed? Well, that brings up a very interesting debate. Because you may note in our text that Simon Peter had his mother-in-law healed. And if Simon Peter can get his mother-in-law healed, why can't I get my healing or my relatives healed, we may ask. And that would be a very good debate. But let me pit for a moment St. Peter here in our text and bringing in a passage from St. Paul from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 7. So to keep me from being too elated by the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Paul continues, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Isn't it interesting that when Paul, when he's struggling with something personal, some sort of healing that he is asking the Lord to give to him, to take away this thorn in the flesh, whatever that may be, and Christ doesn't do that, Paul still rejoices in the grace of Christ. Paul still understands that, yes, he has been healed in the spiritual and in other ways, that God's grace still abounds. This one particular incident, for whatever God's reasoning is, that thorn in the flesh is not taken away. But what does Paul do with that? That thorn in the flesh, he says, fine. I will boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You mean God can heal even in the midst of thorns in our own flesh? And the answer is yes. Paul understood that. Do you? I will admit, that's a tough concept. So we don't want to get into this debate between Peter and Paul here and trying to be envious of what happened with Peter, with Simon's mother-in-law being healed, and complaining to God, "God, why can't I be healed? Or why can't my relatives be healed?" We have to realize that God gives healing in many forms and ways. Ultimately, we will be healed. Not necessarily in this physical life in here on this earth, but after the second coming, when Christ comes again, when we will have that spiritual glorified body, and we will be free from all sin. But until that time, we realize that, yes, Jesus, who is the healer, the one who heals, is still with us, is still restoring us. But our sinful nature may ask more questions. Our sinful nature may still be in doubt. So we return back to that hymn we just sang. Hymn number 541, stanza 5, says, "Then help us, Lord, to greet each day with hearts and wills made new. And when you call us forth to serve, to rise and follow you." Notice the Apostle Paul didn't say to our Lord, "Lord, I'll serve you after you take this thorn of the flesh away from me." He said, "I will give praise and thanks and grace to you for the grace given to me even with the thorn in the flesh." You see, getting back to our text, the demons knew who the Christ is. They understood the true nature of Jesus Christ being true man and true God, coming to defeat them, to destroy them. It's interesting in our text, it was the people who could only ask questions by faith. We put our faith and trust in what God reveals to us through His Word. He is the one who heals. We may not always understand all the dimensions of His healing, but let us not get caught up in the Peter-Paul debate here, but trust in the grace of God, in the coming King who will come again, the one who will bring, who has brought healing, who continues to bring healing, and will bring the ultimate healing. It is in His name we give our praise and thanks. Amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.